Welcome to the North Point Community Church Podcast. We're so glad that you've chosen to be part of creating a Christ-centered, culture-changing community. For more information on North Point or any of our other ministries, you can visit our website at www.northpoint.ccpeople.com. We hope that you enjoy this inspiring word from our pastor.
So today is Easter Sunday, and we celebrate a risen Savior, a conqueror of death, hell, and the grave. You know, at Christmas, we celebrate a humble Savior who came as a baby to earth just so that he could know what it was like to be human. But on Easter, we celebrate Jesus because of the great sacrifice and the great victory that he won for us. And so we celebrate Good Friday, the day that he laid down his life. The Bible says that Jesus told us he had the right to lay down his life, that no one could take it from him, that he laid down his life. And then we celebrate Silent Saturday, when hope seemed to be gone, love seemed to be gone, purpose seemed to be gone, where there was such fear in people's hearts. But then, we remember the last part of that scripture. Just as he had the power to lay his life down, God had also given him the power to take it up again. And he was resurrected on the third day. And that power is still available for us, and available for us to have, to live the life that he died for us to have.
You know, the story of Jesus never gets old. Every time that we read it, and every time that we remember it, every time that we rehearse who he is and we rehearse what he has done, it always changes us from the inside out. And today we're going to look at a story out of the Bible. And so many times when I look at stories in the Bible, I always try to put myself in the middle of the story. What would it must have been like to be one of the disciples in these last few days of Jesus' life? What would it have been like to live through these last hours of Jesus here on the earth? And I can tell you this about every disciple. Every disciple has some common experiences. Everyone that has ever chosen to follow God has had these common experiences. And the first thing that we see in the disciples' life is we see a moment of discovery. A moment of discovery. Jesus is crucified at 33 years old. And at 30 years old is when he launches into his ministry. So he's been 3 years of ministry on the earth. And during those 3 years, he has gathered what we call 12 disciples, 12 people that are the closest to him. But he's gathered hundreds of followers. And all of his followers and his disciples have come to him in different ways. They've connected with him at different times and connected with him by him using some different words. But for each one, there was this moment of discovery, a moment that they discovered hope that they had never felt before, love that they had never experienced before, joy that they didn't even think was possible. They had this moment of discovery where they discovered that in him was real peace, peace that would stand even in the midst of a storm. And for some of us, the moment of discovery happened in our childhood when we heard about Jesus. We heard about the cross. We heard about forgiveness. We heard about the unconditional love of God. We heard about these things. And there we had a moment of discovery concerning Jesus. It was the moment that maybe you had as a teenager when you realized that there was more to this life than just surviving high school. There was more than this life just surviving the week and trying to make it to the weekend. No, there was more to life than this mundane existence of day in, day out living. You knew there was more to life. And in the middle of all of that, you had a moment of discovery. And maybe even today, maybe today in this room, there will be people that have a moment of discovery. For the first time, you sense his love. For the first time, you sense his acceptance and his longing to have you in the family. Maybe today is your first encounter with real joy and real life and real peace. And maybe today is your very first moment of discovery.
But after every moment of discovery, there's a moment of discouragement. And we see this in the story. The disciples at the Last Supper on early Friday morning encountered a great moment of discouragement. I mean, Jesus had come into Jerusalem to great fanfare, to great excitement, to great anticipation that he was going to take over the world, that the Romans were going to be driven out. And instead of saying, all right, guys, at the Last Supper, all right, guys, tomorrow, this is the plan. This is what we're going to do. We're going to take over everything. Instead, in Luke 22, verses 19 through 20, he gives this cryptic message. He took some bread, and he gave thanks to God for it. Then he broke it in pieces and gave it to the disciples, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. After supper, he took another cup of wine and said, this cup is the new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood, which is poured out as a sacrifice for you. Now, for Christians, that's one of the most sacred scriptures. That's the scripture of the Eucharist, of communion. But for these disciples in that moment, you're not going to be a conquering king? You're going to be broken? What do you mean? And then after that, they went into the Garden of Gethsemane, and that's where Judas, one of Jesus' disciples, betrays him and leads the authorities to his location in order to arrest him. And there's this brief skirmish, but then suddenly the disciples scatter. No new kingdom on this earth. And arrest. Discouragement. No great triumph, just threats of death and discouragement. No conquering warrior, instead fear for their own lives and discouragement.
And many of us understand this because after our moment of discovery, it just seems that life happens. We don't know how it happened and we don't know why we drifted, but it did. We aren't proud of it. We're not really excited to really talk about it, but we cannot deny that it happened. We were discouraged. Things weren't what we thought they would be. People weren't what we thought they would be. Life just wasn't what we thought it was going to be. And we find ourselves drifting, and the disciples found themselves in the exact same place, drifting and discouraged. And here's the thing about a moment of discouragement, is a moment of discouragement many times will lead you to a moment of distance. And right after this skirmish ensues and the authorities arrest Jesus, this is what the Bible says in Luke 22, verse 54. And so they arrested him and they led him to the high priest's home, and Peter followed at a distance. A moment of distance. Peter and the disciples were accustomed to having this access to Jesus. He was close enough to touch and to talk to. He was the one giving them direction and explanation and confidence. But now there is this distance. And the thing about distance is that distance will many times create uncertainty in our lives. I'm not exactly sure what I'm supposed to do now. I feel so much fear and anxiety in this moment. Is there really a clear path for me to follow? Where is God right now in the midst of my situation? And no longer could they lean on him for understanding. They couldn't rely on his faith or his prayers to carry them through this moment. They were separated by a distance that they were not able to overcome.
And Peter, one of the disciples, even found himself denying that he even knew Jesus. We focus on him, but others were just absent. They don't even make the story. Still others were hiding. And some of us have been there, haven't we? Haven't we all? Where we're distant from God, where we're drifting. And that distance will cause us to do things that we never thought we would do. It'll cause us to get confused where our loyalties really lie, to get confused about what's really important in this life. It'll make you hide or disappear or just be afraid because you're distant. There's a preacher, he says, distance creates distortion. We start to see ourselves and we start to see God in a way that we were never intended to. And you know, distance leads to a moment of profound disappointment. Because the farther away you get from God, the more likely you are to find yourself in a great moment of disappointment. And that's what happened in the story, Luke 22, 61 through 62. At that moment, the Lord turned, talking about Jesus, and looked at Peter. Suddenly, the Lord's words flashed through Peter's mind. Before the rooster crows tomorrow morning, you will deny three times that you even know me. And Peter left the courtyard weeping bitterly. See, Peter had been so brave at the Last Supper, and he said, I will die for you. And Jesus said, not only will you not die for me, you will act like you don't even know me. And you'll do it three times before the rooster crows. And Peter's like, there's no way. Absolutely no way. And as soon as he had denied him the third time and that rooster crowed, he locked eyes with Jesus across a courtyard, across space. He saw Jesus turned and looked at him. And the Bible says that Peter went out weeping bitterly. You know, it's one thing to be disappointed with God. It's one thing to be disappointed with life, but it is something completely different to be disappointed with yourself. To be disappointed with yourself. The disciples are so incredibly disappointed. And I know there's people in this room, you've encountered disappointment. When the marriage ends, there's disappointment. When sickness continues, there's disappointment. When the addiction proves too strong, there is disappointment. And when we fail yet again, we find ourselves in disappointment.
And letting yourself down always hurts worst of all. When I'm doing things that I promised myself and I promised others that I would never, ever do. And here was Peter denying his friend and denying his Lord. I mean, that's a low moment. It's a low moment whenever you let yourself down. It's a low moment whenever you betray yourself. It's a low moment when you disappoint the one person that you don't want to disappoint, being yourself. But nobody is exempt from this level of disappointment. Nobody is exempt. We've all been there. We've all done this. We have all said that lie. We have all cheated. We have manipulated. We have taken advantage of situations. We have overspent at times. We have looked the other way when we should have been paying attention. We have quit too soon. We have busted out in a fit of rage when we should have remained calm. We have all disappointed ourselves. Being disappointed is a part of life, but staying disappointed will destroy your life. And here is the problem with staying and remaining in disappointment. And that is that if you don't quickly give God your failures and give God your disappointments, that will quickly lead you to a moment of doubt.
In the book of Luke, chapter 24, we see two of Jesus' followers as their moment of disappointment leads to doubt on the road to Emmaus. They begin to pour their heart out to a fellow traveler. So this is basically what happened. So Jesus dies on Friday, the Sabbath is Saturday, and then Jesus' disciples start to get out of town on Sunday. And these were two of his disciples, and they're walking along the road, and they're talking to each other about how discouraged they are, and suddenly there's another traveler with them, and he begins to ask them questions about what exactly happened here, why are you so discouraged, what's going on, you just seem so down, you seem so disappointed, and they say, where have you been? Do you not know what has happened in the last 3 days? Do you ever have anybody look at you and ask you how you are and you just want to be like, where have you been? What do you mean, how am I? What do you mean, how I feel? Don't you know what I've been through? And they begin to talk to him and they begin to tell him. And this is what they say. They say, we had hoped he was the Messiah who had come to rescue Israel. We had hoped, but now we're not so sure. We had hoped, but our disappointment has turned into doubt. And it's so easy for us to live in doubt, isn't it? I had hoped that becoming a Christian would save my relationship. I had hoped that he was a good father. I had hoped that it was unconditional love. I had hoped. Can God really save a person like me? Does God really want me in his family? You know, it's funny. We come to church and we assume that we're the only ones who are struggling with doubt and disappointment. That's right. That's right. And if we had bubbles over our head, we would be shocked at how many of us walk in here every week, not because faith is driving us, but because the doubts are driving us. And we just want to show up one more time to see if maybe what we thought might possibly be true. I'm sure that that's how the men on the road to Emmaus felt. They felt alone. They felt abandoned. They felt like they were the only ones. But can you imagine the moment that they realized that the man that they were talking to, the man that they were pouring their heart out to, the man that they were saying, hey, hope is dead, love is dead, that man was actually Jesus? Can you imagine how they felt? Because, see, the Bible tells us that Jesus starts basically rebuking them. He's like, no, listen, let's go back to the Old Testament. And he proved to them through the law that Jesus was, in fact, the Messiah. And then he revealed himself to them. What an incredible, unbelievable moment. And then he revealed himself to all the disciples. Luke 24:38, this is what he decides to say to them. After all they've been through, okay? Jesus, I love Jesus because he says stuff and you're like, really? That's what you're going to say to them right now? I mean, they just watched you die. They watched you get buried. And now you're showing up a ghost and this is his comment. Why are you frightened? I don't know. I don't know why I'm frightened. It might have been the death, the fear of I was going to die, the sleepless nights, the road here, and then you're a ghost. I don't know. Yes, I'm frightened. But he says, why are you frightened? And then he says this. He says, why are your hearts filled with doubt? Why are your hearts filled with doubt? Because this is the thing, is that we think that fear comes from our circumstances, and fear doesn't come from our circumstances. It comes from our beliefs. It comes from our doubt. See, when we don't doubt, we don't fear. And that's what Jesus was saying. He was saying, I understand in the natural that you have a lot of reasons to be afraid right now. But the thing is that if you hadn't doubted me, then fear couldn't have knocked you off your path. If you hadn't doubted me, then fear couldn't have stolen your strength. It couldn't have stolen your courage, because it's not your circumstances. It's the doubt that caused you to fear. And it doesn't matter how much we have been disappointed, how we have been discouraged, how distant we've been from God. What we have to understand is that Jesus is still walking right beside each one of us. And he is listening to us. And he is right there saying, you know what? I'm willing to talk this through with you. Do you notice that Jesus doesn't tell the men, you just need to be quiet. You don't need to ask these questions. You just need to have blind faith. No, he says, let's talk about it. Let's go through it again. Let's talk about it again. Let's look at it again. Let's decide together. And see, when we have those moments of doubt, but we allow Jesus to walk into our moments of doubt, then it will bring us to a moment of decision. It will bring us to a moment of decision. Luke 24, verses 44 to 47. These disciples face a moment of decision that comes with a new discovery of who God is and what he has done. Says this, then Jesus said, and he's talking to his disciples, when I was with you before, I told you that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and in the Psalms must be fulfilled. And then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. And he said, yes, it was written long ago that the Messiah would suffer and die and rise from the dead on the third day. It was also written that this message would be proclaimed in the authority of his name to all the nations, beginning in Jerusalem. There is forgiveness of sins for all who repent.
Jesus said, this is the message. There is forgiveness of sins. There is the cleansing of hearts. for all of those who would repent. And the biblical definition of repent, it's not just saying I'm sorry. It's actually the changing of one's mind. That whenever you begin to change your mind, forgiveness becomes available for you. And here's what I can tell you, is that following God always comes down to the changing of our minds. Following God and trusting God and moving with His plan and moving with His purpose and accepting His grace and receiving His mercy, it always comes down with the changing of our minds. Why? Because everyone has been discouraged at times. Everyone has felt distant from God. Everyone has experienced disappointment at some level. Everyone in this room understands what it is to have doubts. And the great news is that Jesus isn't offended by any of that. He's not offended by your discouragement. Today, the creator of heavens and earth, He's not looking down at your disappointment and wondering why you are so selfish that you are disappointed. No, He is wanting to reach down in the midst of your disappointment and join you right there. He's not offended. He's not offended today by your doubt. He's not offended by your distance, even though it was you. It was your choice that created the distance in the first place. It was you that made that decision. God's not offended by that today. He just wants to come down and walk with you through this journey. Journey through your hurt, journey through your pain, journey through your bad decisions, journey with you, journey through your highs and through your lows. Journey through you, through your greatest joys and your worst defeats. You see, it's through our discouragement, and it's through our distance, and it's through our disappointment, and it's through our doubts that we all have the opportunity to make a decision that changes everything. We have an opportunity to make a decision that says, Jesus, today I choose you in the midst of my distance. I choose you, and in the midst of my disappointment and discouragement, and right in the middle of my doubts, today I choose you. I choose your word. I choose your love. I choose your plan. I choose your acceptance, and I choose your promise, and it's the decision that I make today. You see, all the moments of life always come down to this one moment of decision. This decision that we have to make, and the disciples had to make the same decision. After 3 years of walking with Jesus, looking into His eyes and touching His hands and watching the miracles, their life still came down to a decision. It's the same way for us today. It comes down to us making a decision. And you say, what does that decision lead to? That decision leads to life. That decision leads to real life, because this is what Jesus said as we close this morning. In John chapter 10, verse 10, He says this about the enemy. He says, the thief comes only in order to steal, kill, and destroy. But wow, doesn't the thief come with great so-called promises? Doesn't he show up with things that sound really good? Sound like they're going to fulfill you. Sound like they're going to make you happy. Sound like a better plan. Sound like it's going to work out. But in the reality, whenever the enemy comes into your life, he's coming for three things: to steal, to kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, this is why I came. This is why I came. And can I tell you that Jesus came for you? Jesus came, this is why I came. This is why I stepped down out of heaven. This is why I'm going all the way to the cross. This is why I'm going to face death and come out of that tomb. This is why I came. I came for you. Jesus came for you. What did Jesus come to give you? I have come that you may have and enjoy life, that you may have it in abundance to the full until it overflows. This is the life that Jesus came for you to have. That in the midst of your struggle, in the midst of your pain, in the midst of your distance, your doubt, in the midst of your discouragement, in the midst of all of it, Jesus came so that you might be able to overflow with peace and overflow with joy and overflow with this abundant life. But the only way you get to access that life is with a decision. A decision that says, Jesus, I choose you. Number one, first and foremost, you are the reason that I live. You are the purpose of my life. Jesus, I choose you. It's amazing that we don't just get to just make that decision one time. We have to make that decision all the time. Because we said, this is the life of a disciple. Oh, you might have been discouraged last week, but there's more discouragement coming. Oh, you may have thought that your last doubt was the only doubt that you would ever have. No, there's going to be more doubts. Oh, you might have thought that last season of distance that you walked through was going to be the only season of distance that you've ever had. No, at some point, there's going to be something in your life that's going to attempt to create distance. But if you keep making the right decision to come back and say, no, Jesus, I'm fixing my eyes upon you. I will not drift. I will not wander. I will not walk down that road. I will not end up in that place. Jesus, I'm putting my eyes back on you. And today, I'm making a decision once again to draw close to you. I'm making a decision to get again today to say, you are my king and you are my Lord and you are my way and you are my truth and you are my life, and I will keep on making that decision every day of my life. Come on, will you stand with me all over this place today? Will you bow your heads just for a moment? Today is a day of reflection, and today is a day of celebration. But today is also a day of decision. With every head bowed, every eye closed, today I don't have to be a prophet or a psychic to tell you that there are people that walked in this room distant from God. Just distant. You're not a bad person, you're just distant from God. It's just been a while since you've drawn close to Him. I know there's people that walked in this room today and you're just discouraged. Life is not what you expected. The last relationship that you're in, it wasn't what you expected. The last job you got, you thought that was going to be your forever job. And now you just got laid off. It's not what you expected, and you're just discouraged. There's others of you in this room, and you're just disappointed. Just disappointed. Disappointed about where you are right now. Disappointed about how things turned out. Just disappointed. Disappointed in yourself. Because you said you would never be at this place. You said that you would never have opened the door to that, and you opened the door to that. Just disappointed. And there's some of you today that just have major doubts. Does God really love and accept people like me? Did Jesus really hang on that cross and die for me? Did He really take all of my sin? All of my ways, all of my thoughts, all of my words. Did He really take it all to that cross for me? Today's a day of decision. In the midst of all of that, will you choose Jesus today? In the midst of all of these things, will you just make a simple choice and say, Jesus, I choose you. I choose you this morning. I choose to focus on you. I choose to trust you. I choose to look to you. I choose to love you. I choose to lay down my life for you. I make that decision this morning. Thank you.
Thanks for listening today. We hope you were encouraged by the Word of God. If you'd like more information on North Point Community Church, you can find us online at www.northpoint.ccpeople.com.